Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Now, I am not an expert on depression. I hasten to say that. I'm not going to give advice to any of you who are suffering from physical, emotional, mental depression. I'm not an expert. You do need to see your physician for these things. But I do want to talk about spiritual depression. I do want to talk about spiritual discouragement.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. We all get discouraged at times, but sometimes circumstances seem to mount and we become overwhelmed. Many are struggling with depression, but there is hope. Today on The Verdict, we're exploring the biblical response to discouragement and depression as we continue our series called With Wings Like Eagles. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
In recent years, research has shown a rise in depression and suicide among adults. And since COVID, these rates have risen for our children and students. This is a very serious and troubling trend. The problem may be compounded by some who think these problems demonstrate a lack of faith. That's not the case. All of us are discouraged at times, and some of us are prone to depression. If you or someone in your family continues to suffer from depression, I encourage you to see your physician. But today, we continue to look at these subjects from a biblical perspective. Yes, there is hope. In our series, With Wings Like Eagles, I'm praying for you that you will soar high above your struggles and challenges and obtain the strength from God to deal with these struggles.
Let's think of some of the symptoms of depression that we see here in verse 3 of Psalm 42. We see sadness and tears. My tears have been my food day and night. Now you say, what causes depression? Well, many things, but I'm dealing with spiritual depression. One is sin can cause depression. We've sinned and we've not repented, and our conscience tells us that we've done wrong. The Word of God tells us we've done wrong, but instead of confessing it, instead of repenting from it, we cover it up. So if you are down, if you're cast down because of your sin, what's the answer to that? The answer is to repent of your sin, to turn from it, to confess it, and to put it right. But all depression isn't caused through sin. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book, which I commend to you, Spiritual Depression, says that another frequent cause of spiritual depression is a reaction after great blessing. Interesting, isn't it, as you read the Gospels, that right after the baptism of our Lord, if you're reading through Matthew's Gospel, for example, the end of Matthew 3, the Lord Jesus is baptized. What happens in the next chapter? He's led into the wilderness where he's tempted by Satan. Now, of course, the Lord is triumphant. He gets the victory over Satan. But isn't it the case? Have you found it? I have certainly found it. That after being used by God in a mighty way, it's as if all hell breaks loose in your life. And that can lead to depression. Now, what's the impact of depression? What was the impact, as you look back at Psalm 42? What was the impact of depression? Well, the psalmist experiences a terrible thing. He experiences a famine of the presence of the Lord. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The reality is that all of us sometimes experience this. We love God, but where is he? And the psalmist is longing. He's longing for the power of God and the grace of God in his life. And he feels, verse 9, that God has forgotten him. Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. His enemies are taunting him and saying, well, where is your God? And the psalmist is saying, well, I really don't feel it. Has God forsaken me? He knows what it feels to feel abandoned by God. Have you ever been in such a situation? What could be worse for a follower of God, follower of Jesus, than knowing, of thinking that God is silent? Can I say, If we're going to get out of that depression, the community of believers is essential. Did you notice verse 4 that the psalmist missed worship in the house of the Lord? And that spiritual depression is deepened by an absence from corporate worship. Now, I know that if you're depressed, if you're down, the last thing you may feel like doing is coming to church and worshiping. You just feel, I'm not up to that. I can't face people. I really don't want that as you pull the blankets over your head on a Sunday morning. But you need to be here. Don't stay at home. I know it's hard to do. Get up, shower, have something to do that day. Experts on depression tell us the worst thing that you can do is just to sit and stare at the wall. You need something to do, something to achieve. And how much better to come to a time like this and to be reminded, yes, that we do face mountains, but in the Lord and in the Lord alone are righteousness and strength, and to be reminded by your fellow believers, and as we come together in corporate worship, that there is a God and that He is with us. And so we are encouraged as we're prayed for and helped. Don't stay away. As the writer of Hebrews would say, don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together. Now, that's the way down. What about the way up? Can I say that instant cures for disappointment and depression are rare? I know my theology. I know with God all things are possible. But the structure of Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 suggests that the psalmist's despair is not instantly lifted. This is not a matter of a little prayer, a little verse, a little song. In 5 minutes, you're going to be perked up and life is going to be wonderful. That's not the reality here. No, the casting down of the soul, the turmoil is repeated. In fact, it's the theme of the psalm. And in our quick fix, instant society, we may not understand that the cure for spiritual depression may take some time. What are you to do when you're cast down? Don't turn to the bottle. Don't turn to drugs. Don't turn to promiscuous sex, trying to escape reality. Many people do that. Don't just sit feeling sorry for yourself. What's the answer? The answer is to behold God. The answer is to look up. The answer is to speak to God. Isn't this what the psalmist is doing? He's pouring out his soul to God. Did you notice all of the whys? I think there are seven of them in the two psalms. Why? Why me? Why did this happen? When is this going to end? Why? Why would God allow this? Why me? But the psalmist, you have to commend him. There is a tremendous honesty and reality and boldness before God. And that is essential when dealing with your depression, to speak to God. Pour out your heart to the Lord. That's what the psalmist is doing. Ask him questions. Come with confidence to his throne for grace. Listen to the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4. What does he do? What does he say we're to do in our time of need? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. You say, God's going to throw me away because I'm really questioning him. No, he's not. This is a throne for the believer, not of judgment, but a throne of grace. Do you understand God is gracious? Do you understand that God understands your situation? He hasn't deserted you. Come with boldness to the throne of grace. You say, why would I do that? Listen, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that beautiful? I need grace. I need mercy. And I can come then with boldness into the very throne room of God Himself and ask for His help. So, brother, sister, are you praying to God about your discouragement and depression? Are you just complaining about it, feeling sorry for yourself? Or Are you on your knees before God? Are you honest in your prayers? I love the fact that so many of the Psalms are honest. We might hesitate to pray like this, but the psalmist does and shows us the reality of pouring out our hearts to God. So first of all, speak to God. Secondly, speak to yourself. You say, well, that's a bit strange. Isn't that what the psalmist is doing? Verse 5 again. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He says that. He's speaking to himself. What's the point? There's a time for self-reflection. And we're not very good at that, are we? There's a time for self-analysis. I'm not saying we don't discuss our problems with others. That can be helpful. But to examine yourself. This challenging of oneself is essential in dealing with depression. Have an honest confrontation with your own soul. Soul, why are you in such turmoil? What's going on? You see, this depression, although it's difficult for us to think in these circumstances, but we are to think. We're to speak to ourselves. It may be helpful to write out some of our thoughts, to read them over to our husband, our wife, our friend, a mentor, or a pastor as we pour out our souls before God. Speaking truth to yourself can be one of the great turning points in dealing with disappointment, discouragement, and depression. Because what happens on those times of disappointment, certainly in times of depression, we have distorted thoughts. We're not thinking straight. And they contribute to our spiritual depression. We've got to have our minds renewed. We need to start thinking straight. Often we buy into the lies of our own making. I'm useless. No one likes me. God hasn't forgiven me. God is judging me. It wouldn't make any difference if I stopped coming to church. No one would miss me at all. And we have all of these kind of thoughts becoming much more vivid, much more turmoil in the middle of the night. What are you to do? Speak truth. Allow the light of truth to pierce your discouragement and your depression. Speak to God. Speak to yourself. Third, wait for the Lord. Can we read again Isaiah 40? Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. You say, I've heard this before, John. You're going to hear it again. Right? This is so important. Because what's the context of Isaiah 40? The people are in captivity. They seem abandoned by God. And Isaiah is prophesying that they're going to go into Babylonian captivity, but there's a time in which they're going to be restored. A time when God is going to say, as he begins Isaiah 40, comfort you, O my people. Isaiah 40, verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Here it is. But they, will you do this? But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait for the Lord. Can I say to some of you, not to all of us, you need from time to time to step off life's treadmill. Take a break. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. You say, well, we're not under the Sabbath rules. Well, you can argue about that if you want. But God did not create you or me to be working nonstop. You need times of quietness. You need time of solitude. A time of silence. We're not very good at that, are we? One of the reasons why so many people are burning out, are tired and depressed, is that they never have a time of silence and reflection. I know some of you think this is a hobby horse of mine, and I guess it is. but they're never away from noise. We live in a very, very noisy society. What's the first thing I do when I go in my car? Put on news. I can get Fox News, I can get CNN, I can get BBC, and I'm listening to news. You say, well, I listen to Christian radio. That's wonderful. I listen to the news in my car, right? But my point is that almost from the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed, we hear noise. Noise. One of the spiritual disciplines is solitude, is silence. Can you handle that? Aren't we all so much better when we have a time when we're deplugged, a time of silence, a time of solitude? You will be a better husband, a better wife, a better friend when you have that rest, when you have some relaxation. These feelings of exhaustion, physical and emotional exhaustion. Doesn't the psalmist say in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God? If you're waiting for the Lord, take off the headphones. Stop the noise. Be still. Get your Bible. Not a book about the Bible, not a study guide. Just get this book. Get alone. Yourself, the Holy Spirit, and God. Go for a walk. Sit under a tree. If you're a young mother, that may be difficult getting that time on your own. But my mother would get up early, and when we came down, her Bible was on the kitchen table, having spent some time in the Word to hear from God. Do you do that? When's the last time you got alone with God? Silence. Away from the phone. Not stop checking it. And to have a time when you're waiting on the Lord. This should be your greatest joy. Maybe in your home, maybe on your porch, maybe on the greenway. But away from people and to wait on the Lord. No wonder so many people are stressed. No wonder so many people are in turmoil. Because we're doing what God never intended us to do. We're going nonstop and we're bombarded by all of these messages. I've tried to discipline myself when I get up first thing in the morning that I don't put on my phone and see what's happening today. It's difficult to do sometimes, isn't it? To wait for the Lord. You see, some of you are not waiting for the Lord. You've been too preoccupied with your circumstances and feelings. I want you to behold God. I want you to understand who God is. I want you to see the magnificence of God. Yes, He can remove that mountain in your life. He is all powerful. Isaiah is telling us that. That's why we're to look at Him. He knows the stars. He's a God of great love. And He knows your name. We saw 2 or 3 weeks ago that He has our names written on the palm of His hands. Isaiah 49, verse 6. Do you realize that? That this God that you feel has deserted you, this God and you're in turmoil about, that your names are, your name is on the palms of His hand. You are greatly, greatly loved. Psalm 42, verse 9 is telling us that God is your rock. He's the unchanging and unchangeable rock. Haven't we seen that? Isaiah again says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock. You can't depend on other people. You can't depend on the circumstances. You can't depend on the government. But you can absolutely depend on God. He's steadfast. This is a sure and certain hope that we have. You need a rock. You need a secure foundation. You need someone who is 100% reliable, who will never let you down. He's your rock. We sometimes sing, He will hold me fast. I can't hold myself fast. I can't always be of help to my friends, to my family, but God is always my friend, and God will always help you as you wait on the Lord. The psalmist also says here in Isaiah 43, verse 2, that He's your refuge. What's a refuge? A fortress. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. though the earth gives way. He paints a horrific circumstance of the whole world collapsing around him with an earthquake, with a tidal wave. And he says, I'm not even going to fear then because God is my refuge. I go to God for strength. I go for him, to him for protection as I wait on the Lord. Furthermore, he says in Psalm 43, verse 2, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. What do you need when your soul is cast down? You need God's light. You're in confusion. You don't know what to do. You don't see the end of the tunnel. Allow God's light to shine. You say, what's God's light? A lamp to my feet and a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's the word of God, isn't it? Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Wait for the Lord. Isn't it wonderful? That little refrain says this, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Isn't that Jeremiah 29, that God has a future for us, that God has plans for you, that God doesn't cast you away, and that as you wait on the Lord, as you're strong in the Lord, to understand that God has a future for you, that God has hopes for you, God has plans for you. Because we follow the one who is the light. We follow the one who knows about the darkness as a man of sorrows, who on the cross said, I thirst. Who on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We follow a Savior who died for our sins, who was buried and who rose again. And as we trust him with all of our hearts, he has promised that he will guide you and he will lead you as you hope in him, as you trust in him. Have you not known, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Young men shall fall exhausted. Youth shall faint. But listen to this. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and we shall walk and not be weary. And God gets all the praise as our hope is in him.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the end of his message dealing with discouragement and depression. John will be right back with more to share in just a moment, so stay with us. Did today's message strike a chord? Perhaps you're going through some tough times right now and you're struggling to keep it all together. Well, John has written a helpful and very practical guidebook called Trusting God in Tough Times. John goes into greater details than we've had time to include in today's program about how to overcome life's challenges. And we'd love to send you a free copy of this encouraging resource today. You can download or request the Trusting God in Tough Times booklet by going online to theverdict.org. And while you're there, be sure to add your name to our email list to get special updates and insights from John each month. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day. And you can be a part of this gospel work by supporting our ministry with a gift of any amount. To give today, visit theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. As a special bonus, John has added a new weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he shares his personal thoughts on relevant events and biblical topics each Tuesday. For more details, just visit our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with some closing remarks for today's lesson.
Well, what's your verdict? Aren't you encouraged to know that the psalmist struggled with these issues? You're not alone. Whatever your difficult circumstances, remember that God loves you. And that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he's promised to give you the strength and the grace for each situation. So wait on the Lord. He's your rock. He's your refuge. Trust him. Go to him and ask for his help. Next time we deal with another deep subject as we consider whether life is meaningless or meaningful. Don't miss the program.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.